Good evening, friends and young people. I'd like to thank you first for turning out to listen to this talk on the subject, Does Faith Matter? Does it matter? Does it matter whether or not we have faith in our lives today? I think firstly we need to establish what faith is before we can decide whether or not it's vital in our lives today. A dictionary definition of the word faith is confidence, assurance, conviction, dependence, or something one can rely on. I think a good word to summarise would be the word trust. We can think about faith in both secular and spiritual terms. And firstly, we must remember that faith is not unique to Christianity or spirituality. What do I mean by that? Faith is woven into the world, the life we live every day. It's a fabric of life, whether we're aware of it or not. We walk by faith, just going about our daily business, the routines of life. Faith makes life possible, both physically and, as we shall see later, spiritually. I've said that faith is a fundamental part of life. What I mean by that is we trust in many things. We depend on many things. We depend on things that they will perform as and when expected. Example, the car. When in a rush, we expect to jump into a car, put the key in the ignition, turn the key, the lump of metal fires up and off we go. We have faith in a bulk of metal, that it will start, that it will behave nicely, and it will take us to our destination safely. And we hope that it will start day in and day out. And thankfully, it's only a rare occurrence when it doesn't start and the events for the day go pear-shaped. Another example is collecting a prescription from the doctor, getting drugs. We go to the doctor for him to have a look at us. We go to the pharmacist. We have faith, firstly, in the doctor for his diagnosis and the cure, if he can cure us. And then we have faith in the pharmacist to give us the correct doses of drugs so he doesn't harm or, even worse, kill us. And we don't hesitate when it comes to putting our faith in everyday occurrences and people. We walk, as I said, through this world with our faith placed in something. It may be the stock market. It may be your job. It may only be placed in the fact that you think things will get better. It may also be that you only have faith in yourself. You're going to sort your life out and you're going to get on with it to make the best of it. It's impossible to live without faith. And I'll say it again, we spend our lives either consciously or unconsciously living for what we believe in. And it's no matter how simple our faith or how complex, we spend our lives pursuing what we trust in or what we believe in. And then we build our lives around that principle. What do most people put their faith in or trust today? We could have a whole list. Different things affect different people. Wealth, the government, the stars, investments, property, education, careers, themselves. Health. As I said, the list is by no means exhaustive. Health and strength. Come back to that one. I would say that that is the most important aspect of our life. Health and strength. Why? If we don't have health and strength, friends, then all these aims, aspirations, ambitions, or whatever we trust in, what we're trying to build up in our lives, all falls by the by. Health and strength is the most important. And all our trust and faith is in doctors and their ability to cure and keep us ticking. Without health, we can do nothing. I'll say it again. All our dreams and aspirations come to nothing without health and strength. So on the subject of faith and does it matter, on the spiritual plane in general, young people, faith in God doesn't seem important. Life's about doing and getting and achieving. At the end of the day, it's a matter of fact. It's the cycle of life, isn't it? All the media and the advertising of our world is centred on lifestyle, and that commodities will bring fulfilment and happiness. Whether it's a gleaming BMW for the drive of your life, or it's a face cream which stops the ageing process. All items are for sale, and they're all things that you can't do without if you want a better quality of life. And you want to feel fulfilled, happy and content. Marketing, it's a powerful machine. Is it true? You can draw your own conclusions. Is it difficult to be content with life? I think it's true to say human nature, it's a thing that we don't really, that we struggle with. We soon tire with things, and human nature is we're constantly striving for bigger and better, the latest technology. So we're told having money for the finer things in life doesn't always bring, we're told that it does bring happiness and fulfilment. But does it always? However, this is an area that most people invest the majority of their time. Today we're told, trust in yourself. Your destiny is in your hands. If you want something, if you really want to do something or achieve something badly enough, you can achieve your goals. It's down to you. Now to the spiritual. What should we trust in? According to the Bible, the Word of God. What's the message in the Bible? Wealth. Matthew chapter 6 verse 19 tells us quite an opposite message. Don't trust in wealth, it says. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But rather, verse 20, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Why? For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Quite an opposite message. The Bible message is quite clear. The things that we do accumulate in life are temporal. And the energy exerted chasing after things, according to the Bible, could be put to better use in looking for something eternal. Seeking heavenly treasure, which leads to salvation and life eternal. Living forever in God's kingdom on earth. But this requires faith. Faith in God and not ourselves. Faith in God that he's able to perform and keep his promise to mankind. The thing to remember is there's nothing wrong with wealth as long as we see it as a blessing from God. And if we see it that we're blessed, then we have a duty to use it aright in the service of the Master. It's the obsession with money which the Bible talks about. And that's quite clear in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10 where it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Matthew chapter 6 tells you not to worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about the body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothes? Back to what I said earlier in our list, life more important than food. But this is talking about eternal life. Profound words, which we've already concluded. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. God is the great provider for mankind if we put our trust in him. And talking about being content or not with our lot in life, the verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 6 which says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Why? For we brought nothing into the world and it's certain we can carry nothing out. The message is, try to be content. The message is, if we can be content with what we have in this life, we will be happier and more fulfilled. Whatever we amass in our lifetime in the form of riches, we can't take with us when we die, irrespective of whether it's an empire or not. And the parable of Jesus in Luke chapter 12 sums this up for us. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought, what shall I do? I have no room where I can put all my fruits. And he said, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. And I'll put all my fruits and my goods there. And I'll say to myself, wow, you've done good. Soul, you've got much goods laid up for many years. And you've done well. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy it, you've worked hard. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich towards God. He thought about the here and now. That's the message of the parable. He didn't think any further about after. The afterlife. Some people, we said, put faith in the government to bring about change for a better life and a better future for our families. Psalm 146 verse 3 says, do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. The Lord who remains faithful forever. And then just one more from Psalm 34 verse 8. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So, we've had a few examples from the Bible which tells us not to trust in man, but rather to put our trust in God. If we are to put our faith in God and trust his word, then I would say that faith requires action. And we're told that time and time again in the Bible. Faith requires action or commitment. It's no use, you see, saying, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus, his son. That he died to save me. I believe that the kingdom will come. I'm a good person. I live my life daily. I try to help anybody. I won't see anybody stuck. But the Bible teaching is, having faith requires action or commitment. And if we want to do the work of God, we must believe in Jesus Christ, whom God has sent to save us from sin and death, and commit our lives to him in service, following his example, and trying to live a life unto God, demonstrating a real and living faith. Real faith is not just knowing or being convinced that something is true. It requires action as a consequence of faith. The action is the bit that demonstrates total trust and confidence. Let me illustrate what I mean. There was once a famous daredevil. He was called Blondin. And he regularly thrilled audiences. He used to get upon a tightrope across a part of the Niagara Falls and have a long pole, and he'd walk across daily. And you can imagine the crowds and the people that used to come to watch him. And his party piece was, he didn't only go across himself, balancing carefully. He'd take a man across on his shoulders. So, one day, just as he was about to start across, he asked a man in the audience, massive crowd, do you believe Do you believe that I can do this? Yes, 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 said the man. Yeah, but are you sure I can do this? Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I know you can, yeah. He said, are you convinced that I can do this? Are you positive? Absolutely positive. The man said, of course. Yeah, I'm positive. I know you can do this. Oh, I've heard everyone say you can do it. I'm positive. He says, good. Because the man that normally gets on my shoulders is not here today. And I want you to get on my shoulders. And I'm going to take you across. It's all right saying you believe and you've got faith. It's all right saying you have a real and living faith. But God requires action. He requires us to demonstrate our faith by commitment. Now, I don't know the end of the story. And I don't know if that man got on his shoulders. But if that man got on his shoulders, you can imagine his fingers would have been blue because he would have been gripping onto his head for dear life. Well, I would anyway, if I had the courage to get on. So, it's all right talking the talk, but God requires a demonstration of faith by making a commitment, a real and living commitment to Him. And that commitment is by dedicating your life to Him through the waters of baptism. And then trying daily to live a life pleasing to God. And the fact of the matter is, no one's perfect. None of us are perfect. We all struggle. We're all going to fall short. But it's the actual making a commitment that God requires of us and trying to do the right thing with our lives. Back to the man. He was faced with a dilemma, a real issue. A real issue of faith. He said it that he believed. But was he willing to stake his life on it? Faith is not faith until it's all that you're holding on to, making a full commitment. Another little demonstration. Children, swimming pool. Jump and I will catch you. How long does it take before that little child decides, well, he might do, and jumps? Thankfully, with my two, I did catch him. Same type of thing. You've got to make a leap of faith. God requires you to make a leap of faith and grip on tightly to Him and His ways. And He will reward us in the future. The final question of faith, the object of faith itself. Our faith is only as good as that in which it is placed. That's why we must make sure that our faith is in something that can do for us what it promises to do. And the only one who can do that for us is God Himself. God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die in our place and pay the penalty for our sins. I said, none of us are perfect. Doesn't matter what we do in our lives, we're going to fall short on the weighing scales. But it's the grace of God through Jesus that makes up the shortfall for us. Jesus has the power to give us life beyond the grave and death. He now lives forever. He did what He promised He would do, and now He can do for you what He's promised He will do. And that's grant us eternal life. He can save us from death. Some may say, oh, I don't know if I can do that, commit all my life to serving Jesus. Oh, I don't know if my faith is strong enough to rely on Jesus as my saviour. It's not the strength of our faith that matters, but the strength of that in which we place our faith. A weak faith may receive a strong saviour. As I've said, salvation does not depend on our power alone, but God's grace. The all-important question is, are you willing to let Jesus Christ be your saviour? You can understand what to do by taking each letter of the word faith and remembering this phrase. Faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. Faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. That's what you must do. Forsake other things and trust in him alone. Back to Blondin, faith in Christ is not faith until he's all that you're holding on to. But remember, friends, he's able to hold you up forever and never let you go and save you from death when he returns and sets up his kingdom age. And by his mercy and grace, he will give us the kingdom. Thanks for listening.